that, isn't it? Come up here and crack a joke or something. Joel, enjoyed that extra hour of sleep you got last night? Yeah? I noticed the room seems a little more alive than it does for the early service. I suspect that that's at least partly because a bunch of you think you're at the 11:15 service right now. So you don't have to raise your hand. It's cool. We get it. We get it. Well, hey, I'm glad you're here. Welcome. Our oldest son, Jacob, his sixth birthday was about two or three months ago, and one of the things that he wanted for his birthday was a brand new bike, and he wanted a big boy bike, one with no training wheels on it. So he and I, we went to the store, and together we picked out this bike. This thing is awesome. It's metallic, red, and blue, looks just like Spider-Man. It is so cool. So I loaded up in the car, and we brought it home, and guess what we did? We went right out and started learning how to ride this bike. So then I want you to guess how long that lasted, approximately. About 2 days. Then he completely lost interest in this thing, and it's been hanging up in our garage ever since, for months, just hanging there. So that's ridiculous in and of itself, but that's not the end of it, because the other day he and I were out, and he started talking about the new bike that he wants to get for Christmas. This one's orange, and it's going to be a lot better than the one he has now. I'm just thinking, you have a brand new bike. The tires aren't even scuffed up yet. You don't know how to ride that one and don't care to learn how to ride it, and yet you're already talking about the next bike, the one that's better than the one you already have. You can't make this stuff up. You can't make this stuff up. It's ridiculous, but that's the way it is. And it's kind of funny. It's cute when it's a six-year-old. When it's a 35-year-old, it's less cute. When it's you and me, it's not as funny, is it? How often have you been disappointed? How often have you been left wondering why that thing that you thought would bring you joy and satisfaction has just left you feeling empty, just left you looking around for the next thing? The question I have for you today is that, what if you could possess, what if you could grasp the greatest possible treasure, that most valuable of things, that once you got it, not only does it give you the joy and the satisfaction that you've been longing for, but that joy just continues to increase and increase and increase as time goes by. What would you give in order to possess that? What would you give? That's what we're going to be talking about today. And our text today is going to be consisting of two parables, and they're found in Matthew chapter 13. We'll be in Matthew 13, verses 44 to 46. And before we start, I just want to let you know that these two parables are part of a larger group of Jesus' teachings. He tells a bunch of parables that are meant to educate or enlighten his disciples about the kingdom of heaven. Now, in Jesus' teachings, this phrase, the kingdom of heaven, it's really a shorthand. It's a shorthand for something that is so beautiful, that is so precious, that it's hard to even put it into words. See, the kingdom of heaven is where the king is. The kingdom of heaven is where the glory, the majesty, and the magnificence of the king resides. And to put it most simply, the kingdom of heaven is the life-giving presence of the Lord Jesus Christ for those who have been bought, who have been purchased by his blood, and it includes all of the blessings that flow from the presence of Jesus Christ. So in his parables, this little phrase, the kingdom of heaven, it's a shorthand, it's a window into the greatest, the most profound, the most beautiful, the most glorious reality that's ever existed. I want you to keep that in mind as we read through these parables. So in Matthew 13, 44 to 46, Jesus says this about the kingdom of heaven. Verse 44, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. And Jesus continues, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who, on finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. So through these two parables today, I want to see three things. And first, we're going to see a priceless, a matchless prize. And it's a prize that's within reach. It's a prize that can be grasped, that can be held onto. We're also going to see that prize, it comes with a cost. It's not free. It's got to be purchased. Finally, then, we're going to look at what that looks like in practice. So we'll see a prize, we'll see a purchase, and then a practice. So it's got three P's, so you know you're in for a good sermon, right? That's how you know? Okay, good. But first, the prize. We need to start there, right? When was the last time that you valued something so much that you were willing to go to any lengths at all to possess it? Can you remember a time like that? Guys, if you're married, you probably have some small idea about what I'm talking about. To somehow find a beautiful, godly woman, to court her, and then to somehow convince her to marry you, usually against her own better judgment, this is not an easy task, is it, guys? It's not easy. Chris, am I right? Yes, thank you. That's not an easy task. And it reminds me of the first date that I went on with my beautiful bride, Melissa. We just turned 16, this is 20 years ago, and I took her to a movie. I think the movie was Great Expectations. We go to the movie, and I don't know, about maybe 30 minutes into it, you guys are familiar with what I'm getting ready to demonstrate. I went in for this kind of move. You know, you stretch, you're feeling a little tight, but then your arm sort of comes down this way, right? It's a little bit, you know, it's a little bit slick. But I would say about maybe halfway into this maneuver, Melissa got wise to what was going on and let me know in no uncertain terms that was not going to be happening. So I sort of reversed course, went back, and then scooted over. Now I'm on the other side of the seat. And as it turns out, this movie is about 12 hours long. It was the most uncomfortable time. It was terrible. That date ended in massive disaster. But you know what? I didn't give up pursuing her, chasing her, and 20 years later, she's my bride. The best thing that ever happened to me. But I didn't give up. The Bible says that a good wife is a precious treasure. That's the truth. But you know what? There's something that's even greater than that. Now, Pastor Joe's been telling us the last few weeks that a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. You remember that? Okay. So Jesus here is, he's telling stories that are giving us a glimpse into a treasure that's far more precious than anything else that could be possessed. And look first at the parable of the hidden treasure. This one says that this is a man who, he finds a buried treasure in a field. And I'm thinking, other than maybe pirates, who buries treasure in the ground? But it actually makes a lot of sense. First century Palestine, things were very unstable politically and socially. There was no security to be had from banks or other institutions. It might make some sense to bury something in the ground if you didn't want to lose it, right? If you didn't want to have it stolen. If you've ever watched one of those prepper TV shows, then you know exactly why people bury stuff in their backyard. It's not that hard to understand. See, the kingdom of heaven is like buried treasure. Just imagine the excitement of coming across this big chest of gold coins hidden in the ground. Can you imagine what that would be like? I mean, I get excited when I go into the parking lot and I find a shiny penny on the ground that's all nice and shiny. That's exciting for me. Imagine a chest of gold coins. It would be incredible. But notice here that Jesus, he doesn't describe the treasure very well. He doesn't talk a lot about, well, it was gold coins and cups and diamonds and rubies. He doesn't say any of that. And why is that? It's because that's not really the point, is it? The point here is that this man found something that was incredibly precious, something that he absolutely had to possess. See, this treasure was of immense value, and the man who found it, he recognized it for what it was. He recognized it as something that would bring him joy, that would change his life forever because of its preciousness. It's an incredible story. The parable of the pearl, Jesus repeats the story in a very similar fashion, but in a way that illustrates some slightly different points here. See, the man in the first parable, he found a treasure in a field, right? But then all he had to do was go and buy the field. In fact, as he was walking through the field, he wasn't even really looking for a treasure, was he? He was just a guy walking through a field, right? And apparently, according to the story, he was a guy walking through some other guy's field, right? It wasn't his field. He had to go purchase it. So, you know, that's a little bit weird, but we could talk about that later. But in this parable, the parable of the pearl, unlike this first guy, this merchant, he was searching high and low for valuable pearls. And he found an incredible, precious, unique pearl. And guess what he did? He purchased it at full price. purchased it at full price. Why did he do that? Because he recognized the value of that precious pearl. There's no other explanation for it. Anybody here like that show, Antiques Roadshow? You know what I'm talking about? Anybody? One guy knows what we're talking about. Okay, so Pastor Joe likes it, so that's I'm good. In this show, people will bring in these things, just rusty old garbage, right? And these antique experts, they look at them, they turn them over, they do some stuff, talk about them for a half hour, go to a commercial break, come back, and normally what they tell the person is, yes, indeed, this is just rusty old garbage. And the guy goes away sort of sad-faced, right? His aunt's, grandpa's thing is worthless. But occasionally, we find out, the expert says that what looks like rusty old garbage is in fact incredibly valuable. See, the value is apparent to those who know what they're looking for. That's why the show exists, right? Because you and I don't know what we're looking at. We have to go to an expert to find out what the value is. And in the same way, this merchant, he recognizes great value when he sees it in that pearl. But we know that these aren't just interesting stories, right? They're parables, earthly stories with heavenly meaning. So Jesus is trying to impart to his disciples something that's theological, a heavenly meaning. See, when Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure buried in a field, he's not just saying that the kingdom of heaven is a treasure, which it is, but he's using a Hebrew or an Aramaic idiom that really means the situation of this thing is like the situation of this other thing. The situation of the kingdom of heaven is like the situation of this treasure buried in a field. So what does that mean? It simply means this, that the treasure in the field, it was unearned and it was unexpected. This wasn't payment for services that this man received. This wasn't even something that he was seeking. Just like that, the kingdom of heaven, the presence, the rule, the reign of Jesus Christ, it's a glorious, incredible surprise. It's a gift from God himself. We also see that the treasure in the field, it's life-changing. It's joy-bringing. And how do I know that? Because the text tells us that in his joy, he went to purchase it. Imagine that moment of sheer, inexpressible, indescribable joy when you find out that you're holding in your sweaty little hands a winning Powerball ticket. Can you imagine that? That's what Jesus is calling to mind here, except that's just a tiny little window into the reality that's so much more glorious. The realization that the kingdom of heaven is within your grasp, it brings a joy that can't be described with words. It just can't. But when you find it, your life is never going to be the same. See, the joy of this discovery, it also depends on the ability to recognize the value of what's buried in that field, doesn't it? Imagine the tragedy if the guy had seen this dirty old chest and just, I got enough dirty old boxes at my house. Not interested. Covers it up and walks away. What a tragedy. What a loss. But friends, to pass within grasping distance of the kingdom of heaven and to fail to take hold of it is something that's infinitely more tragic. Infinitely more tragic. On top of all that, the parable of the pearl, it tells us some more about what the kingdom of heaven is like. See, the precious pearl, it's unique. There's nothing else like it. Because of its perfection, because of its beauty, there's no other pearl that can match this one. See, the merchant, he knows pearls. We can tell that. He's an experienced merchant. He knows what he's looking at. And he knows that this one, it's unmatched. It's supremely valuable. And Jesus wants his disciples to know that the kingdom of heaven is the same. The saving, the redeeming, the rescuing reign of Jesus Christ is like nothing else because the Lord Jesus Christ is like no one else. There is none like him. That's what Jesus is communicating through these parables. So the first thing that we see is that these parables show the kingdom of heaven, the reign of Christ in the lives of his people. It's a treasure of immense value. It's life-changing and it's joy-bringing if we'll only recognize it for what it is. The parables also show us that this prize requires a purchase. It has to be purchased. Got quite a few SMU football players that attend church here on a regular basis, and I'll tell you what, SMU is having they're having a great season. Despite a difficult loss yesterday, they're killing it out there. And over the last couple years, I've been able to see just a tiny little bit about what these guys have to go through, not just in the off season, but also during football season and practice, in order to have that great of a season. They don't just happen. The blood, the sweat, the tears that go into having a winning season, it's incredible. It's hard to even describe. Because the truth is that everyone wants to have a winning season, don't they? Everyone wants that. But very few are willing to pay the price that must be paid in order to have that. Very few. In both of these parables, we can see that the great value of the hidden treasure and the matchless pearl, that they could only be had at great cost, with a great sacrifice. So let's look at the first parable here. What did the man in the first parable, what did he have to do in order to obtain that treasure? That's pretty simple. The text tells us that he sold everything that he owned. Now, our tendency, particularly in familiar stories or things that were sort of short and punchy like this, is to just gloss over the details. Oh, he sold everything he owned. Great. Let's pause and think about that for just a second. He went and sold everything that he owned. You know, if you go back and you look at the original Greek, that's exactly what it means. This isn't a translation error. He sold everything that he owned. It's not a metaphor. This is reality. So I want to just try this real quick. Sometime this week, just as an experiment, I want you to try coming home to your husband or wife and just tell them, honey, I sold everything we own. The house, the car, everything. So start packing your stuff. No. Don't pack your stuff because I sold all that too. Just the guys are coming in an hour to pick it all up. I've sold everything. And then before they punch you, say, well, don't worry. With the money, I'm going to buy a field because there's a buried treasure. Right? Just try that out and see what happens. And then come back and let us know. We'll do like a testimony video of it or something. We want to see what happens. But I think we all know where that would end up, don't we? See, the treasure that this man found, it cost him everything. He could hold nothing back if he wanted to possess that treasure. But notice, see what the text tells us about his attitude. What does it say? It says to lose everything was a joy for him because of the value of the treasure that he had found. For him to lose everything was not a sacrifice at all. It was a joy. That's what the treasure did for him. In a moment, that treasure changed his attitude towards all of his possessions, everything he spent his life building. It was changed like that because of the value of that treasure. That's how precious it was. Look at the pearl merchant. How did he respond? This experienced merchant, a businessman, he sold everything that he owned and used the proceeds to buy this one pearl. Now, just think about that for a second. Is this a smart investment strategy at all? Jason White's walking out the door. He's an investment guy. What do people tell you? They say, sell everything and put it all in one basket, right? Is Dave Ramsey going to say that to you? No. Dave, that's crazy. That makes no sense. Sell everything and buy one pearl. Friends, I can't hang on to a ballpoint pen or a pair of sunglasses longer than one day, much less this thing that now contains all of my worldly wealth. That's a crazy idea. But it didn't matter, did it? The value of that pearl was such that the merchant goes against sound investment advice. He goes against Dave Ramsey's counsel. He sells everything, and he puts all of his eggs in one basket, this precious, matchless pearl. So again, I'm looking for the heavenly meaning behind these earthly stories. What's the theology here? Both parables show us that the kingdom of heaven, it cannot be grasped without sacrifice. It can't be. Just like the buried treasure cost everything that the man owned, just like that priceless pearl meant that the merchant had to sell all of his assets in order to buy it, the kingdom of heaven requires each and every person to go all in, period. The life-giving, the soul-saving, eternity-purchasing reign of Jesus Christ in the hearts and the lives of his believers is not to content to compete with other things. The kingdom of heaven cannot simply be one more thing on your list. There's a lot for you, and I truly pray, thy kingdom come. Selfish ambition, the desire to get ahead at any cost, that has to be sacrificed. The love of money, the sense of worth and accomplishment that we get from looking at what we've accumulated, that's got to be sacrificed. The security of our possessions, looking at the stuff that we have and feeling, now I'm going to be taken care of, that's got to be sacrificed. The approval of other people saying, they think that I'm good, they think that I'm valuable, and so that means that I am. That's got to be sacrificed. The list, it goes on and on and on. Each of us could add our own things to it very easily. And all of these things compete with Jesus Christ for our loyalty and our devotion. But friends, the truth, and the hard truth, is that every single one of these will have to be laid aside to welcome in the kingdom of God. To put it simply, the Lord Jesus Christ is not content to share his throne in your life and your heart with anyone or anything else. Period. To worship him, to share in his resurrection life, to drink from that fountain of living water that we want so badly, it's going to cost you everything that you hold dear. Everything. There's no way around it. It's a hard word, isn't it? It's hard to accept. But these parables also show that when everything else is sacrificed, the kingdom of God makes even that sacrifice itself a source of joy, a source of satisfaction. It's that good. Listen, when the man found his treasure, he went in his joy and sold everything he had. He didn't drag his feet. He didn't contemplate what he was losing. He didn't, you know, picture this man, all of his earthly belongings gathered up in his arms, stuff flying everywhere, running down to the pawn shop saying, take it all, take every bit of it, just give, all I need is enough to buy this field. He wasn't worried about those possessions. The merchant, he sold all of his assets to purchase the pearl because he considered it to be what every good businessman is looking for, a great investment. It was a great investment for him. No one forced him. No one gave him a hard sell. No one took him to a timeshare in Tempe, Arizona and tried to twist his arm to sell him this thing he didn't really want. That's not how it went. He saw the value and he went for it willingly. In the same way, the kingdom of God is so precious, so beautiful, so supremely valuable that even to give it up, everything else to obtain the kingdom, to participate in the life and presence of Jesus is absolutely worth it, without question. But the term worth it doesn't even cover it. It's more than worth it. It's precious enough that even the sacrifice becomes part of the joy. Even the sacrifice becomes part of the joy. I was thinking back to the birth of our first child, Jacob, about 6 years ago. 30-plus hours of labor, no medication, capped off by an emergency C-section. I mean, that was one of the toughest, most difficult things I've ever been through. It was just, I don't know, I still wonder how I made it through. I mean, it was just, it was hard on Melissa too, I think. Yeah. Love you, baby. But you know what? When little Jacob was born, all of that was completely worth it. And I'd wager my next paycheck that if you went up and asked my wife right now if she would undo that, she would tell you no. She wouldn't give anything because of the joy that that little boy brought into our lives. All of it was worth it. All of it was worth it. The supreme, the matchless value of the kingdom, the presence and reign of the king in your life, it comes only at great cost. But the joy of life with Jesus Christ, both now and for eternity, makes even the greatest earthly sacrifice a source of great joy. So first we've seen the prize, the value of the kingdom of heaven, a value that's unmatched, that's unparalleled by anything else in the universe. On top of the prize, we've seen that there's a cost. It has to be purchased. Such a valuable prize cannot be had without great and joyful sacrifice. But I want to bring it a little bit closer to home. I want to know, how can we put this into practice? You know, Pastor Joe, last week we heard from a parable from Jesus about not only hearing the word, but being doers of the word as well, right? So what I want to ask is, how can we build these truths, these great and glorious truths, into our lives, particularly as it concerns the kingdom of heaven? The most valuable, precious thing in existence, the kingdom of heaven. How can we build this into our lives? So I want to just commend a couple of things to you before we wrap up here. Number one, you have to learn to recognize the treasure before you. There's no other way. When was the last time you felt the inexpressible joy of a man who had just discovered buried treasure? When was the last time that you were so as excited about worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ as you are about your favorite football team scoring a touchdown, as you are about getting that new toy that you've had your eye on for so long? When was the last time? If it's been a while, you're not alone. Perhaps it's because you've lost sight of who Jesus is and what he's done for you. You know, over time, things happen, and other things, even good things, they tend to loom larger and larger and larger in our vision until sometimes they can obscure our vision of the risen Jesus Christ. But how can you restore that sight? How can you regain that clear picture of Jesus that once captivated you so much that at one point in your life turned you away from the sinful life you'd been living and turned you towards him? How can we get that back? Have you ever seen a jeweler or somebody that appraises diamonds or precious stones? They have this little thing on their glasses, right? And they're looking at them. How can they distinguish a stone of immense value from one that's flawed or worthless? How do they do that? I mean, friends, I can't tell the difference between a real diamond and a cubic zirconia. I'm just going to admit that to you right now. I wish Melissa couldn't either. It would make jewelry buying a lot cheaper, I'll tell you that right now. But you know what? These jewelers, they can. They can tell the difference. And how do they do that? They can tell the difference because they've spent years and years looking at the real thing. They look at the real thing. You have to spend time in the presence of precious stones to truly recognize a precious stone when you see it. And it's no different with the kingdom of God. If your time and your attention is mainly focused on things of lesser value, guys, that's everything else. That's everything else. If your time and attention is mainly focused there, you're going to lose your ability over time to even recognize the beauty and the value and the worth of the Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom. You lose the ability to see it. So make a decision right now, sitting in the seat right now, that you're going to begin to look intently into the things of God in order that you might see the value and the glory and the beauty that you've been missing for so long. Open the Bible. Open the Word of God. Ponder what it says. Meditate on the words of Christ. Pray that the Holy Spirit would open your eyes, would soften your heart, that you might be able to gaze into the glory and the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ and see him for what he is. If we're ever going to possess this great treasure, if you and I are ever going to be able to grasp it, we're going to have to be a people who have eyes to see its value, to see the glory that's right in front of us. There's no other way. When you've done that, there's one more thing. You're going to have to sell all that you have and purchase the treasure. Now, I'm not talking literally, right? I'm not trying to set up a cult here where you guys all sell all your stuff and then come live in a commune with me somewhere. Although, we could talk about that later, maybe Pastor Joe. But when you begin to see the unmatched value and the beauty of the kingdom, you're going to start to detest. You're going to start to hate anything that keeps you away from Jesus. To sell all you have in this context, it means that you and I have to be willing to get rid of everything, even those good things that keep us from experiencing the kingdom. We have to be willing to cast out every idol in our lives that might seek to share the throne of your life and heart with Jesus Christ. Period. Spend some time this week thinking about this. What is keeping me from the kingdom? What are those things of inferior value that I'm holding on to when the most precious prize in existence is right in front of me? You know, the other week I was cleaning out the van. And if you guys have kids, you know that cleaning out the car is not like a thing that you do and then you're done. It's just an ongoing experience for the next 18 years, right? Right? It's just something that you do all the time, right? So our middle son, Joshua, was out there with me, and I was picking up wrappers and stuff, and he was fishing for Legos under the seats. We were merrily going along, and all of a sudden, he starts just like screaming. You hear your kid cry, and you know when something's really wrong, right? And that parental part of me just, I mean, you know, the adrenaline starts flowing. You know what I'm talking about. He was screaming. He was yanking his hand, and in my mind, I'm thinking, oh, it's falling on his hand. It's crushing his fingers. I don't know what was going on. So I dropped everything, ran around the other side of the van. I looked under. What had happened is he put his hand under this bar that's under the seat and grabbed a Lego, and then he was trying to pull it out, right? And it was stuck, and he was panicking. He was freaking out. See, if he just let the Lego go, his hand would have come right out, no problem. But as it was, he was holding on to it, and he couldn't get his hand out, and he was panicking. If he just let it go, he could have been free. What are you holding on to? What are you holding on to? Is your job or your work schedule, the way that you've structured your life, is it making it impossible for you to be a functioning member of the local church? Maybe. Is your boyfriend or girlfriend, are they demanding that you worship them with your body instead of the Lord Jesus Christ? Maybe. Are your hobbies or your kids' sports teams, are they taking up time and energy and money that would better be spent devoted towards eternal things given to the Lord? Is your love of television keeping you up so late at night that you can't wake up early the next morning to spend time with God? Friends, we all have something. Lots of us, myself included, have a bunch of things. What's your thing? What are you holding on to? This week, commit to sell everything that you own. That means commit to get rid of those things that keep you from possessing the best thing, the kingdom of heaven. And once you've done this, then buy the field. Buy the field. It does no good for you to sell everything that you own and then just sit with a little bag of money. You have to go and buy the field. To buy here, the kingdom can't be purchased with money. To buy in this context means that we have to reach out and seize the kingdom. Grab hold of it. The kingdom of heaven is at hand, Jesus said. You have to reach out and take it. But how? How do we do that? Well, the first way is to seek the Lord's face every single day. Ladies and gentlemen, the kingdom is where the king is. If you seek his face, if you draw near to the Lord Jesus Christ, if you spend time in his presence each and every day, you cannot fail to see the kingdom, because the kingdom is where the Lord Jesus Christ is. He brings it with him. Get in the word. Study, read, ponder, meditate. If you don't know how, come up and ask. We will help you. We will move heaven and earth to make sure that you know how to see the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ in the pages of your Bible. Read. Spend time with him. Pray. Ask to hear from the Lord. Ask him to show you his face, and he will. Seek the presence of God every day. And finally, get help. By yourself, you're going to fall away. You are. You're going to grow weary of following Christ. Your vision of him is going to grow dim, and the enticements and the distractions of the world are going to seem more and more attractive in relation to him. That's just the way it works. You've seen these nature shows, right, with the wolves and such? What? Who are the animals that the wolves pick off? It's not the ones in the middle of the herd, is it? It's the one that's out by himself, not paying attention, doing something else. Together, you and I could press into God, encouraging one another, spurring one another on to good works, is what the Bible says. Make sure that you're in a small group, some kind of intentional community where you can press into the kingdom of heaven together. So what does it look like to bring these parables to life? It's really simple, really simple. It's not easy, but it is simple. Number one, learn to recognize the treasure that's before you. That means to turn your eyes to Jesus and do not look away until you can see him for what he truly is, the most beautiful, the most glorious, the most worthy one in existence. Learn to recognize the treasure that's before you. And number two, sell everything that you have to purchase that treasure. Commit to get rid of everything that keeps you away from Jesus and seek the Lord with all that you have in community with other people. Do this and you'll finally possess the true treasure that you've been seeking for so long. Jesus' parables, they reveal deep truths that they just defy simple explanations. Through two brief stories today, Jesus has showed us that the kingdom of heaven is a thing of unmatched, unparalleled value. It's the ultimate prize, and it's unlike any other. He also shows us that it comes at great cost for those who are so bold as to reach out and take hold of it. But that even the great sacrifice that's required of those who would grasp the kingdom is returned to them with greater and greater joy for all of eternity. That's what Jesus has told us today. So the challenge for you and the challenge for me is this. First, train yourself to recognize the supreme value of what's sitting right in front of you, the kingdom of heaven. Look at the Lord Jesus and don't look away until you can see him for who he truly is. And second, sell everything you have and purchase that treasure. Get rid of all that stuff in your life that's keeping you away from him and seek the presence of the Lord in community each and every day. press into God with all that you have. And together, you and I can say to the Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen? Amen. Let's stand together. I just want to pray with you a little bit. Let's just bow our heads. And before I do that, I know that there's somebody in here who wishes they understood what I was talking about, who wishes they understood what Jesus was saying in these parables, but it's just eluding them. There's someone in this room who's never met the risen Lord Jesus face to face. There's someone in this room who needs to hear the message that although your sin, although the stuff that you and I have done and thought and said and have left undone has separated us from the love of God who wants to be with us and give us eternal life, that he loved us so much that he sent his only son to die in our place, the death that you and I deserve, to be raised again from the dead, to conquer Satan, sin, and death. And he's sitting right now at the right hand of God, the Father. He's coming again to judge the living and the dead. And that Jesus, that Lord Jesus, he did what was necessary to purchase you, to redeem you from your sin, and to give you everlasting life in the presence of God. Someone in this room needs to hear that message. The Holy Spirit, there's something tugging at your heart right now. If that's you, there's something tugging at you right now saying, I'm not sure I understand this fully, but I need to respond. I need to hear more about this offer that Jesus extends free of charge. Just put your hand in the air. No one's looking around. If that's you, if you need to hear more about what the Lord Jesus Christ has done, just put your hand up high so I can see it. Thank you. Thank you. I see you over there. Good. Is there anyone else? We just want to talk to you. We want to explain to you the glory and the beauty of what Jesus has done for you and give you a chance to accept it. Thank you. Okay, just go ahead. If you have your hand raised, just go ahead and look up at me. Okay, I see you. I see you. After this service, I want you to come talk to Pastor Robert Sherman right here. Do you see him? We want to talk to you and just share with you about what Jesus did for you. Okay? Okay, amen. Thank you. Amen. Thank you, Lord. For everybody else, I think it's time to lay hold of the treasure, don't you? It's time. We've wasted too much time with things of far inferior value. We spent our time, we frittered it away on stuff that doesn't really matter when the greatest prize, the greatest treasure in existence has been right in front of us the whole time. So if you're ready to make a change today, if you're ready to say with me, Lord Jesus, I want to grab a hold of the kingdom of heaven with everything that's within me and I am not going to let go. If that's you, just put both of your hands out just like this to receive from the Lord. Just put both of your hands out. We want to receive this prize that he purchased for us. And let's pray. Father, I just thank you so much for each and every person in this room. God, I pray for every person here who knows you, who you've purchased with your blood, and who you offer the precious treasure of the kingdom of heaven. God, I pray that each person would walk out of here a different person than they walked in. Give us the strength, give us the power, give us the authority purchased for us by the blood of Jesus Christ to get rid of all that junk that's in our lives that keeps us away from you, God, and give us the energy and the ability to go after you with everything that we have. Father, I thank you that you've done everything that was necessary to purchase us for yourself. And God, I pray that we would be together a church that can truly say, your kingdom come. In the name of Jesus, I bless everyone in this room. Lord, be with them this week. Let everything that they put their hands to, let it prosper right now in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. You are dismissed. Have a great Sunday. Right now, in the name of Jesus.